Hello and welcome to the IVF Daddies podcast. I am Richard Westerby, and today we have my great friend Zach French on. Hi, Zach.
Hey, Richard. Happy to be here.
I first met Zach at a conference in the United States with his wife, Alexandra. I was sitting next to them both, and we got chatting about their surrogacy journey after Alexandra's battle with breast cancer. Zach is a bar-certified attorney in New York who runs marathons for fun. I'm like, you've done four?
Four, yeah, that's right.
Zach and Alexandra founded the Gift of Surrogacy Foundation, which I'd love to talk to you more about, which raises funds to pay for an entire surrogacy journey, which is just phenomenal. So I'm in awe of you both for doing that. But Zach now, the reason we're talking to him today is because he is the vice president of Seed Trust, which is an escrow company. Let's dive straight into it. Zach, tell us more about how you ended up here.
So as you alluded to, we had our own surrogacy journey after my wife successfully battled breast cancer. We were not able to have kids the natural way. And so we heard about surrogacy as our next step. And we started to ask around because we didn't really know where to go. There wasn't like a website that's all surrogacy information here. So we had a friend that had actually gone through it. And he told us all about the agency that they used here in Atlanta, where I'm based. And then we went and met with the agency. And then we got the presentation. And the presentation was, here are the three buckets. Yep. Here are the costs for the three buckets, $120,000. But by the way,
it's not.
A, B, C, D, E, F, and G can go wrong. And you can add another $50,000 to $75,000 to that. And then you go through the matching process. And when you are at this point, we were during COVID. So we were meeting these people over Zoom, even though we're just one state away over in Alabama. And you start to have conversations with people that maybe you would only reserve for like your closest friends and family.
So I want to take you back because it sounds very similar to me. I'm like, when I did mine, I didn't really know anybody who'd do it. So you had met one person, one couple that had done it, or would you talk when obviously you have an oncologist to go through with Alexandra? Who brought it up as a topic and what did you feel at that time?
So as far as embryos, Alex's surgical oncologist would not let her start treatment until we froze embryos.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, it was something that I realized is not common practice, at least not around the globe. And so that was super helpful. But then once it was actually after her double mastectomy that they found a second type of cancer, which was hormone positive, that we knew there would be no other way to do it. We just happened to be friends with somebody who had just gone through it. And that was the only person that we knew. That was our only resource.
For those of you who maybe don't understand, hormone-driven cancer means that she couldn't take drugs to...
Means that she had to take drugs in order to block her hormones so that she would not be able to be pregnant without risk of the cancer coming back.
So that's why your oncologist was like, what an amazing person to say you need to create embryos first, get that part done. That's phenomenal. Okay, tell me more about your surrogacy journey.
It started off with a Zoom call, and then we decided that we were a match for each other. And then we went through our psychological screening, which was hard. You're having very frank conversations about people's lives and who's making decisions about the baby's life, about the surrogate's life, making sure that everybody understands that and that it can be memorialized in a contract.
I get, well, as a lawyer, you would have been all over that, no doubt, right?
Yeah. But even as a lawyer, it was intimidating, I have to say, because you don't contemplate that when you're negotiating contracts for a sale of software.
And it's very emotional, right? You're sitting there negotiating with, in effect, a surrogate who is doing something that's amazing for you, and you're negotiating terms. I felt really weird when I was doing that, and it just dehumanized the whole process for me, but a bit crazy.
I have to say, and I'll admit this publicly, when I went into the process, I was more of an oven for my bun person. But as I met them, I just started to realize what an amazing sacrifice this person and her entire family were making in order for us to have the baby. And we're still in close contact today. Just texted him the other day. It was her husband's birthday.
So now I'd like to talk a little bit about how that led you through to the Gift of Surrogacy Foundation, which is how we met, in effect, really, wasn't it?
I always credit Richard with being my first friend in the industry.
Oh, I love that.
And usually when I name drop, people take me seriously. No.
It shouldn't. I'm taking some serious.
But no, so listen, Alex and I come from a Jewish family. And the Jewish faith, there's this concept called tzedakah, which is the act of giving back. And so our entire lives, we were involved in nonprofits. We were super fortunate through breast cancer, through surrogacy, to have the support of the family and friends to be able to go through this journey successfully. So when we got done with it, we wanted to give back. Fortunately, there's a lot of support organizations for breast cancer. And so we started to search around for surrogacy organizations, and there wasn't much of anything.
Right.
And so we just saw this huge opportunity to make a really big impact in an industry that could really use more transparency, more education, more support for families that are going through it.
It's very interesting because actually I was with somebody this past weekend who is going to be doing an episode with us, and maybe Alex can join in, because one of my very close friends had cervical cancer, and obviously on the back of that, she had to then have treatment, and the treatment led to a hysterectomy and her unable to carry as well. So there are very many similarities, and I feel that this is a topic that a lot of people, again, it's still a taboo. It's almost like back in the day, gay dads was taboo, couldn't do it. Now that's a lot more accepted, but people still don't want to talk about cancer and the effect that has on people and their family building dreams. And I think that's something that definitely giving back is huge, and having those conversations, I think, are great. So watch out for another podcast episode when Alex French is going to be on.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, it is. Like, listen, there, you just look at the numbers that were released earlier this year from the WHO, 1 in 6 people are suffering from infertility. Right. And cancer is just one of the reasons that people suffer from infertility. So there's a tremendous demand for people who want to build their families that could benefit from this additional support, whether it's actually education or support groups or financial, which is where we're really targeting.
Yeah. So I think what we'll do, everybody who's listening, we will put a link to the Gift of Surrogacy Foundation into our podcast. So if you want to donate, please feel free. That conference that I was with you led to a bit of a change in your life, didn't it?
It did. It set me on a trajectory that I never thought I would be on.
That sounds weird. I'm sorry. I will not take credit for that, but I will take credit. We love you in our industry. So tell us more.
Yeah, what we did is we started Gift of Surrogacy with a mission to support one full surrogacy. And as part of our research to make sure that we were doing it ethically, we went to a conference called SEEDS, which stands for the Society for Ethics in Egg Donation and Surrogacy. And at that conference, I was fortunate enough to sit next to the man that I'm virtually sitting next to right now, Richard. And I like to ask a lot of questions, as he quickly found out, which I guess made you ask me a few questions and really caused us to build a pretty quick bond. And you were super helpful in introducing me to the people that I should know in the industry, and making sure that one of those people that I introduced myself to at the conference was Adam Winder, who is the CEO of the company I'm now at called Seed Trust. So I appreciate
Adam.
That.
No, you're welcome. I've known Adam for a long time. He's such a great guy. Yeah,
he's really got a good way about him, and him and Brock and Roland have created quite an amazing company in Seed Trust.
Yeah. So that leads us very nicely on to tell me about Seed Trust.
Yeah, Seed Trust is an independent escrow company, and it was actually the escrow company that we used in our journey. And when we realized we'd raised enough money for our first grant at Gift of Surrogacy, we wanted to talk to people who had experienced a lot of cases to make sure that we screened for our grant the right way, because we only had one shot. We raising $100,000 is very hard to do. We wanted to make sure it went successfully. And when I reached out to Adam about it, we had a nice conversation about how we should screen for the grant. And the call ended with him asking me what I do. And I explained to him, on a high level, I build better connections for thriving ecosystems using education, sales, and strategy. I've done that as an attorney. I've done that as a software salesperson. I've done that as an entrepreneur. And it happened to align with what they needed at Seed Trust.
Aligning personal stories and skill sets into an organization is always great. But you said an independent escrow company. What does that mean?
That means that it is pretty much all we do in the surrogacy journey, which is actually quite important. It means that we sit in between the intended parents, the surrogate, the agency, and the attorneys, and we are making decisions independently based on the contracts that have been provided to guide us through the journey.
And decisions of what?
The way that I always summarize them is yes, no, maybe, but what they are is, do we or do we not disperse certain sums of money during certain instances throughout the surrogacy or egg donation journey? We've got to have a set trained of professionals. You've got to have attorneys on the team. You've got to have CPAs. You've got to have checks and balances in place. But what we are in effect doing is someone, this intended parent and the surrogate have gotten together. They've gone on this journey and the surrogate is saying, hey, I have done something or it is a certain time and I am owed this amount of money. They submit what's called a disbursement request in our proprietary technology. And we have a trained team of legal professionals, the beating heart of our organization, that goes back and looks at the contracts, reads every line of the contract and says, yes, you are in fact owed this money. We're going to release it. And what that does is it puts the intended parents and the agency and the surrogate like a little bit of a peaceful state. They understand, they see the transparency, they can see the request coming in, they can see why we made the decision, they can see the documentation that's provided, which is a beautiful thing because like I alluded to earlier in the conversation, it's a bit of a big jump for everybody involved in the journey. There's a lot of different things to learn and stay on top of.
And it's good to have somebody who has looked at the contract, knows payment stipulations, payment, almost like the criteria that are required in order for a payment to be made. And that, so that's why you have those attorneys that are on your team. And that's amazing. I think what one of the things that when I went through the journey, the agency that I worked with held the trust account. They did their own trust account and dispersed all the money that way. So what you're doing is you sit between, it's almost like you sit between the agency and the intended parent, the agency and the surrogate. You act as that third party to help with the payments.
Yeah, I guess the term of art there is a fiduciary.
A fiduciary.
We act as the fiduciary and make sure that the funds are only dispersed according to the terms of the contract.
So I, for example, put X amount of money into my account with you. How do I know that's safe?
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think one of the things that you've seen transform over the course of the life of escrow companies is that originally they were held by agencies themselves. And what ended up happening is you started to see a lot of fraud and you started to see a lot of mismanagement of funds. And some of it was unintentional, right? What it came down to is they were not financial professionals that were trained to hold escrow. And so what we've done is there's really two sides to how we keep the money safe. One is we have this proprietary five-step process that we walk through. Where three different teams with at least five people on each of those teams actually review each transaction before it goes through. Because we want to make sure, right? I think there are different things that you can do and different ways that you can process these transactions, but ultimately it comes down to the humans that have the power. And so we've made sure that we separate the ability to request money, to process money, and to pay money so that nobody has the ability to do all three.
Which is very important because that way that's a way to prevent mistakes potentially. Yeah.
And then look, let's say, I think that's the first aspect. Those are our checks and balances built internally, but things can happen. People can collude. And so in that instance, we wanted to provide some sort of insurance or bond. And so what we've done, and by the way, is not easy because nobody hands out surrogacy escrow bonds as their main business, right? It required a lot of due diligence and a long time going back and forth with the insurance company to get this. We've been able to amass the largest bond in the industry at $40 million to make sure that all of our client funds are safe were somebody to actually figure out a way to steal that money.
That means that in effect, all of the intended parents have put the money into a seed trust account that is covered up to $40 million if something happens.
Exactly.
Amazing. And I guess realistically, that's all going to come at a cost, right? You guys are going to have to pay somebody to raise that bond and do things. On average, what would the costs for escrow be?
The way we do it at SeedTrust, I can't speak to other escrow providers, is we actually have one flat fee that you pay in your first transaction with us. So if you are on an agency-led journey, that fee is $1,850 and $1,850. And you actually don't pay any fees for the rest of the journey. And in fact, we don't charge for rematches. So sometimes matches do break. And in those instances, we would just transfer that fee to the other account. We wouldn't require an additional fee. We call it our 100% guarantee. And then from an independent perspective, there are individuals out there that go through surrogacy journeys and do not use an agency. They'll use an attorney. They'll find their own surrogate. The attorney draw up a contract. They'll still use clinics and everything else. We charge $2,000 for those journeys.
Because that'll be a little bit more work on your side to do that.
That is. The agencies, just I alluded to this earlier, experience is key, right? That's why I reached out to Adam to begin with. That's why I've talked to you so much. The experience of an agency is that they've seen, you know, tens, 20s, hundreds, thousands, some even thousands of journeys. And so they know how to handle it throughout. And you're talking about journeys that can be anywhere from 50 to 150 transactions just for one journey.
Just for one surrogacy journey. That's insane. And then do I have access to see the money in the account, the money that's flowing out? Because obviously, what happens if I run out of money? How does that work?
That's a really good point. Funding is often a point that we talk about. This is how we make sure that we're paying close homage to our partners, as we call them, our agency partners. We actually review their retainer agreements to make sure that it's clear that each funding requirement is going to cover the related expenses that come up and maybe some unanticipated expenses. On the other side, and this is the beautiful foresight of Adam, Brock, and Roland as founders, they built a custom software that actually creates a ledger so that every single transaction that goes through escrow is accounted for on that ledger and it can be downloaded at any time.
So, which is amazing, especially because for people here in England, we have to present to the court when you have your child and then you're being recognized as the parent in England, you have to give them that information to show how much was paid to the surrogate, how much was paid into the different buckets, as we called them earlier, right? You've got the different buckets in the process. So that's great.
I think if you were to sum up what we talked about, there's really two core things that we focus on at SeedTrust, and that's transparency and security.
And I think anybody going through this journey, that's exactly what they want, right? We want to know what's going on at every single time. And do we have the confidence in the people that we're working with that they have our best interests at heart? And it sounds like that's basically what SeedTrust has been built on, which is amazing. So I have a question for you. What happens if there is a mistake?
There are different ways that we handle mistakes, but in whole, we offer something called fund management, which means that if we were to make a mistake, we actually take on 100% of the liability around that mistake. If you have elected that type of escrow service, which is an overwhelming majority of the accounts that we handle. Now, look, humans are humans. We're going to make errors and we're going to be responsible for those errors. And we're going to have to interact with other humans to make sure that things like this don't happen again. But yeah, we make sure that we take on that liability on our end.
Because it was quite interesting. When my egg donor flew to the clinic to do her screening, I'd arranged a car for her to be picked up to be driven to the clinic, and the car wasn't there. And she called an emergency number at the agency, and they just basically say, just jump into a taxi, we'll take care of it, we'll do it all. Now, from my perspective, I was super happy that she had somebody looking after her, that she wasn't then stuck at JFK not knowing what to do. But of course, my payment was supposed to be 140 and it came out to being 411. I didn't mind paying that because I got a peace of mind that she was being cared for and looked after. And frankly, she was doing an amazing gift for us. In that instance, for example, that's not a mistake per se, right? I'm happy to pay it, but that wasn't what was agreed. So what would happen in that instance?
That's a really good point and takes you back to the initial conversation that I said I had with an agency, which is that here are your three buckets. These are your guaranteed costs. I call them our basic costs. And then there's all these variable costs. And if you have a really well-written surrogacy agreement, it accounts for things like that, which is that we're going to go into the contract and we're going to see, hey, if surrogate needs travel from A, B to C, it doesn't say that it has to be the car that you ordered. It says that you need to reimburse them for the travel to the clinic, right, or from the airport or for the flights. And so right, we're actually checking an agreement to see that's in accordance with what's been written and then covering that. But those are those variable expenses that people don't think about, right? When they go into, oh, I just got to pay my surrogate a base compensation and maybe a few allowances here and there for clothing and food. No, it gets much more intricate with travel and lost wages and all kinds of stuff that you have to account for.
Yeah. And this is where I think it's very important to make sure that you are legally represented when you're doing the contracts with somebody who's going to explain it all to you. Because to me, it was very overwhelming to look at a huge contract, but they had the ability to really dumb it down to my level so that they could say on page 17 is, but actually what this means is X, Y, Z. And then that transfers through to the escrow account with them saying, these are the allowances that are able to be done. Is that how that works? Or do you have attorneys or what? How does that work?
Yeah. So typically the way that we would be involved in that process is we have regular cadence meetings with different agencies, and we let them know about what are the typical clauses in contracts that create friction throughout the journey. And how can you guide your intended parents when they're going to meet with their attorneys to try and help you avoid any vagueness or anything that's unclear, so that it's that when this certain thing happens, which can happen, this is how we act. And we take a lot of pride in that.
We like openness. We like, yeah, absolutely. I think that is great that you have the ability to, you alluded to it earlier, where you have an ecosystem, right? And you have people within that ecosystem that you can talk to and back channel stuff. If there's a challenge that's come up, you can go, hey, quick, can we sort this out without it becoming a big deal? I think that's amazing. This past year, we saw a bit of an issue with an agency where there has been fraud, theft, etc. If the worst were to happen, how would the bond kick in on your side to make those people who have lost money whole?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think probably the easiest way to think about it is when you file an insurance claim. So we would basically go to the bond issuer and we would say, hey, there's been a theft. We would explain the circumstances of that theft and we'd file a claim. And then they would come back and be like, okay, this is the type of thing, theft, that is covered by this bond. And then we would issue it. But it takes time. You alluded to a very big fraud that happened within the industry by an attorney held escrow service. And even they had a bond. That bond takes time to process. So you have that protection, but it takes time to process and it's never easy. You also want to make sure that when you're asking, if you decide not to use seed trust for some reason, any escrow company, ask them how big their bond is and make sure that all of the funds are fully bonded and insured. Because a lot of times what can happen is you can get a bond in, say, 2019, and then 3 years later, you're managing more than you have a bond for. Who covers the gap, right? So you want to make sure that bond is, that all of the funds are fully bonded.
Wow. I want to end on a happy note. I don't really want to end on, what happens if you lose all of my money? Escrow, I remember looking at it, thinking, my God, I don't understand what this is, but it's a really important part of the whole process, right? You are integral in every payment that is made. The thing that I love is, especially about seed trust, is the people, right? I think this is very much a people industry. When you've been working with your team, do you find that they're interacting with the patients or the intended parents and with the agencies? And how is all of that interaction going?
Yeah, that is a really good point. That's one place where we draw ourselves a very high distinction, which is our relationship with each of our clients, whether it's the agency, intended parents, surrogates. We have a surrogacy advocate on our team that actually calls every single surrogate to make sure that they know how to use the portal, to make sure that they know how to submit disbursement requests, and how do they provide documentation, right? We like to think our software is intuitive, but don't assume anything, right? Then there's also the intended parents, like we've been talking about a lot, both through your experience, through my experience. They're really intimidated. This is a lot of money, no matter who you are, right? So we always offer calls with them, every single intended parent, right? Thousands of cases, every single intended parent is given that option to have a call with one of our partner success directors, either Abby Hellmuth or Caitlin Oberle, and they walk them through what to expect. We answer all the questions. I've taken a few of those calls, and having been an intended parent, like, I know how valuable they are, but that covers just the beginning.
Yeah.
During the journey, every single journey has a dedicated legal team as well. So you've got certain members that handle certain agencies. And if you are working with those agencies, they work with those same team members on every single case. So they know how the agency works.
That team member works continually with that agency. So they understand, and it's almost like a modus operandi that they understand. And then the intended parents are new, but they are able to explain how the process works, standardized for that agency, right?
Exactly. We tried to hold your hand throughout the entire journey and make sure that you always know there's a person on the other end of an email or a call if you'd like.
That's amazing. Zach, I am thrilled that you have landed at SeedTrust. I'm really happy for you and also incredibly happy for SeedTrust to have you on their team. I think what you and Alex have done with Gift of Surrogacy Foundation is amazing. Again, there will be a link to it in the bottom of the podcast. So if anybody wants to donate, please do. But Zach, thank you so much for your time today. This has been really informative. If anybody's got any questions, please let us know. I will forward them through to Zach. And if you liked this episode, please subscribe, listen, do whatever you want to make everybody know that it's here. Zach, thank you so much. Really appreciate your time today.
Thanks, Richard. I appreciate your guidance throughout the industry and really enjoyed being on your show.